Hi, Martha.
Hello, Jennifer. You going into the shop? Only for some stamps. How are you, Pat?
Fine. How are you?
Me? Oh, I'm fine, too. I'm busy correcting the proofs of my book in my free time.
It must take ages if it's a long book.
Oh, it's a detective story, only 50,000 words.
And I jib at writing a 3-page letter.
I have to be with the children 2 or 3 evenings a week. The rest of the time, I get on with my writing. This new novel, which hasn't in fact been going very well. More of the articles I do for the Echo. Hard work. But it keeps me out of mischief.
But you do a job during the day as well.
I do, don't I? And unless I get back to Grey Gables, I'll find I've been sacked.
How's the proofreading going?
Slowly, but I'm getting through it.
You are clever, you know. 2 books published.
Not quite.
Well, almost. I'm so proud of you.
Are you, Mum? Honestly?
Of course I am. Why shouldn't I be?
There are times when I don't feel much of a success.
Why ever not?
Well, it's usually when the children are tetchy and my novel isn't going well and there's no news from anybody.
You mean Roger?
It's just that... Well, I don't envy Chris a thing. I'm glad for her. But she's only had a small dose of separation. Now her problems are solving themselves.
She's on top of the world, isn't she?
But with Carol and me, we can't help wondering how long it'll be before we... No, I must stop. I didn't come round here to moan.
Nonsense. That's what I'm here for. And you weren't moaning. You're like your father. He just went doggedly on, putting up with an awful lot and never complaining.
You still miss him, don't you?
I always shall. And I have to face that I'll never see him again.
You mean Carol and I can still hope?
It's true, isn't it?
I wonder. Not absolutely out of the question, I suppose.
Anyway, go on telling me about the children, Jennifer.
Nothing more to tell. They're both fine.
Do they ever ask about Roger?
Oh, sometimes. But they seem to know they won't see him again.
What about his mother?
Oh, Mrs. Travers Macy tries to see them, but I discourage it. She's very generous in some ways, though. Always remembers birthdays. The children's not mine.
Does Roger ever visit her?
Well, I don't know, Gran. To be honest, I don't want to know.
I think I'd feel the same.
Did you be sure about this, Martha?
Oh, pretty sure, Tom. He heard it on the spot, as you might say.
So the Bellamy estate has been sold.
Joby didn't see you too, Mr. Archer, but I dare say the new owner will make his presence felt soon enough.
And the new tenant of the Dower House.
Ralph and Lillian did the right thing, not staying on to see the property sold.
Travel's one thing I never envious people. Home's where the heart is, and mine's here.
Oh, gosh, Sid. He's coming back and we still haven't chosen.
Well, I'll take you down now to read a blooming menu this size.
It
must be 3 foot square.
And every word's in French.
Well, the thing is to tell him what you fancy and leave it to him.
Here he is. Oh, dear.
Would you like to order now, sir?
Oh, yes. what do you fancy, Paul?
Patty and duck.
The terrine to start with for madame.
No, patty, please.
Oh, it's terrine du chef au volant, madame. Our own patty.
Oh, yeah, of course. Lovely.
I recommend the canneton aux cerises.
Roast duck?
With cherries.
Oh, yeah, lovely. You get sick of orange all the while, don't you, Sydney?
I? Do what? Oh, yeah, of course.
For you, sir?
Ah, yeah, I think, I think I'll have the same.
I'll send the wine waiter, shall I, sir?
Oh, yeah, please, of course.
Very good, sir.
Yeah.
Don't look now, but there's somebody we know. Just been shown to that table.
Who the heck is it? Princess Margaret or somebody?
No. Jennifer Macy and that man from Home Farm, Brian Aldridge. Pretend we haven't seen him.
Oh, heck, he's the wine waiter now.
There you are, Mr. Aldridge. 1 ginger beer.
Thank you, Sid.
That won't put air on your chest, you know.
It's not meant to, Tom. I'm playing golf and I like to keep a clear head.
Mr. Woolley, is it? Oh, you heard you beat him all the last time.
I have a feeling I may lose today. Not that I'm playing Mr. Woolley. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, then.
Harry Booker's got a great story about golf. There was this funeral going past. And
I know. It's the wife and you've got to show some respect.
Oh, you've heard it. Or the little Welsh fella who's never seen a golf match, and he's taken to see...
Arnold Palmer playing, and when the ball rolls into the hole...
You've heard that one, too.
Give up, Sid. Mr. Aldridge has heard them all.
Not necessarily. There's the one about the three Scots golfers who decide to play for a round of whiskey apiece, and you've heard that one, so let's stop pushing it.
Just as well.
I must go. I mustn't be late for the golf date. She might start without me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, thanks.
Cheerio, then.
Gee, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. Could be Jennifer.
Sure to be.
You're supposed to stroke the ball in, Jennifer, not belt it.
I don't know how you can bear to play with an amateur like me, Brian.
Oh, perhaps I can remember when I was like you.
Taking six strokes on the green and still not getting near the hole.
Come on, have another go. Feet together, right over the ball this time.
Why don't I concede the game?
Are you going to concede on Monday?
Monday?
You're in the ladies' netball team, aren't you? Will you concede then?
We'll fight to the death.
Well, go on, show the same spirit now.
Right.
Stand over the ball.
Like this.
Mm-hmm. Hands closer together. Mm-hmm. And let me help.
Well, I get this terrible urge to whack the ball.
It's fatal. Coax it in. One, two, three, and there.
It's in. I did it. Well, you did.
Yeah, we did it.
How many strokes ahead are you?
Well, I'm not counting. Come on, let's go on to the next tee.
Well, at this rate, it'll take us all afternoon to get round.
Doesn't worry me.
Well, I've got a job to get back to, remember?
Mr. Woolley's not a slave driver, is he?
Well, depends what sort of mood he's in.
And it would have made it a nice family party, but they couldn't manage it.
It's been delightful, anyway.
And after all, Mum, it isn't as if Ralph and Lillian were here.
No, I know. Anyway, the only room I haven't shown you is the kitchen, Mr. Aldridge, and I'm afraid that's far too untidy.
Do call me Brian.
Oh, all right. You must call me Peggy.
Very well.
Talking of the kitchen, Mum, let me help with the washing up.
I wouldn't hear of it.
Are you sure?
Quite. It was a celebration.
You've got a very talented daughter. Two books published and another one on the way, bigger and better than the other two.
How do you know?
Sure to be.
Well, if you must know, I'm going to abandon it.
Oh, no. After all that work...
Well, I might cut and rewrite, pretty drastically.
It's bound to be good in the end.
Hear that, Mum?
Very encouraging, Mr. Brian. You keep it up. It's very good for her morale.
I really ought to be getting back, Mum. Are you sure we can't help?
Positive. You must have a quick look at the garden, if you really are interested.
Oh, yes, yes.
Did you have a hat or anything?
No, in the car.
Oh.
It must be a quick look at the garden. I hadn't noticed the time. Well, the garden's not very big.
Oh, hello, Nora.
Afternoon, Mrs. Archer. Oh, you've got visitors.
Well, don't run away. We're going. You'd better get on, Brian. I'm late as it is.
Oh, I'll fix things with Jack, Willie. Don't worry. And Peggy, the garden's very pretty, but I'd like to come and see it properly another time. May I?
Of course.
Fine. That's a date. And thanks for the lunch again.
Yes, Mum. Mm, it was super. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, both of
Bye.
You.
Bye-bye,
Nora.
Take care.
Oh, she does look happy.
We had a little celebration lunch, Nora.
Celebration?
You mean Jennifer's book's published today.
Oh, that I see.
Well, Phil, what's the verdict?
It's fascinating, Brian.
Surprised you haven't seen rape harvested before.
Well, never seriously thought of growing it myself till now. I see you've got a special attachment on the combine.
Oh, must have when this stuff grows up to 6 feet. It has to be cut vertically as well as horizontally. An ordinary combine would never do the job.
Is that attachment your own?
Yes. I had a fair acreage of rape at my last place. Seemed a good investment.
Well, it does the work very efficiently.
And it's available for hire.
Ah, now, wait a minute. I'm only here as a bystander. I'm not going to grow rape over half my acreage on the strength of one demonstration.
Oh, I'm not pushing the crop. It sells itself.
Yeah, Ralph wants you to say that.
I'm surprised he didn't grow more of it.
Well, I think he was meaning to.
It's an interesting crop. And it looks nice in the spring. Nice splash of yellow.
Everyone says rape's the ideal break crop between cereals.
Yes, it is. With one great advantage.
Which is?
All I have to provide is that attachment.
On the same machinery you use with cereals.
Mm.
Well, that's a big saving, I grant you.
And coming down to more practical things, it pays well.
If done on a large scale.
Well, that's true of a lot of things in farming these days.
I suppose there is one big drawback about rape.
You've noticed.
Well, it does rather cut into the gap between haymaking and harvesting. Not that I ever take advantage of the so-called farmer's holiday at the end of July.
Ah, here's the train at last.
Oh, good. Anyway, you say that you and Aldridge have decided to cool it.
We've decided nothing of the kind, Tony. And his name is Brian.
Oh, sorry.
We still see each other, but not so often. He's working flat out at the moment, and I'm not exactly sitting on my hands. Anyway, come on and let's go and see if we can find Mum.
Yeah, righto.
Hello.
Hello. Miss Muir, isn't it? In a spot of trouble?
I thought I recognized the car. Yes, Mr. Aldrich. I am in trouble, as a matter of fact.
What, run out of petrol?
No. No, it's the last straw in a chapter of accidents.
Oh?
First, I forget my handbag, so I go back for that. Then I find I'm almost out of petrol, so I have to go back to the garage to fill up. I get this far, and the blessed car stops and just won't go.
And you're not exactly dressed to be a mechanic, are you? You're much too pretty.
Thanks, but the effort's wasted. I was going to meet friends for a meal. If you don't make it by 7, we'll know you're not coming, they said. Well, now I've had it.
Oh, shame. Still, let's see if I can find out what's wrong, shall we?
Oh, don't bother. My evening's spoiled anyway. Just get me to the nearest garage and they can fix it.
Yes, but it may be something quite simple.
Honestly, there's no need. You'll only get all mucky.
Have you checked that the petrol's coming through the carburetor?
I wouldn't know how. Is it?
Looks a bit dry. The jet could be bunged up. It'll just need blowing clean, that's all.
And how are you going to do that?
Foot pump. It's got more puff than me. Come to think of it, those tyres look a bit soft. When did you check them?
That's a job I leave the garage to do. I'm not the mechanical type. Horses are my thing, and I don't drive much.
You check your horses before you ride them, don't you? Well,
they're more liable to damage than a car. And I'm responsible. They're not mine, and they cost a lot of money.
Now, let's see what this tyre pressure reads. Down to 70.
Is that bad?
Bad? It's downright dangerous. Let's try this one.
When I was a kid, I always made sure my bicycle tyres were pumped up. It was too uncomfortable otherwise.
20, this one. What should it be, do you know?
No idea.
Then try finding out from the handbook. And while you're doing that, I'll get to work with a pump.
I'm sorry. Does it take all the glory out of playing a knight in shining armor?
Well, let's just say it makes hard work.
Well, if it's any consolation, it's taught me a lesson.
Pumping tires makes me hungry. You've been done out of your meal, so why don't we split the difference and eat out together?
Okay.
Good.
I think you've done the place proud, Brian. It's everything Jennifer said and more.
Oh, she's been spreading the good word, has she?
Well, apart from going into raptures over your natural pine kitchen, she said something about a housewarming soon.
Well, it's a possibility, but work comes first.
Yeah, so I see from this office. You like things tidy, not just chucked into old shoeboxes.
Well, I don't see why I should have a well-designed kitchen and a rubbish bin for an office.
You've certainly got all mod cons, modern filing, maps of the farm.
I think that's how it should be. Not that I'm the sort that goes for efficiency just for efficiency's sake. But I admit I'm a fool for gadgets. That thing, for instance.
Oh, pocket calculator.
Yeah.
Yeah, very neat. I'd have to check it all the time with good old-fashioned pencil and paper, I'm afraid.
Some of the old ways are still the best, no matter how fashions change.
Yeah, lots of folks around here would agree with that.
Hmm. Talking about things that used to be... Mm-hmm. There's something you could help me with, as you've been in these parts rather longer than I have.
Well, I'm not quite the oldest inhabitant yet. What do you want to know?
Well, when Bellamy owned this land, and the 1,000 acres up on Blossom Hill, Woolley used to run the shooting almost on his own, didn't he?
Yes, with Tom Forrest as head keeper. Why?
What was the system before that?
When the Brigadier had the Dower House, you mean?
Yes. It was three big chunks then, wasn't it? Who ran it?
Well, as a matter of fact, there were four areas. Those three and Ambridge Farmers.
Oh.
We had a shooting syndicate. Worked quite well till the Brigadier died.
And Bellamy eventually dropped out and Woolley took on the whole outfit.
Hmm.
Huh. Well, that's why he likes to lord it, I suppose. Shades of empire.
It's almost back to where it was now, with this chap Barnett running his own setup and Ambridge Farmers out. You're in with him, of course.
Let's just say that's not decided yet. But as I said, some of the old ways of doing things have a great appeal for me.
You're still angry, aren't you?
Angry?
About Brian Aldrich?
Not for the reason you think, Jennifer. Something rather more personal. To do with you.
With me? You're not going to object to Brian and me being friends just because you don't get on with him, are you? Because if you are...
No, nothing like that. Only, well... While I was out with Tom this morning, we met Trina Muir.
Oh, no. Something wrong with Grey Silk. Is he ill?
He's fine. She suggested we should find a proper trainer for him soon. But she said something else that made me rather angry.
What was it?
Jennifer, you know I'm fond of you. I wouldn't want you hurt. And with your divorce coming up...
That's a private affair.
It leaves you very vulnerable.
don't understand.
I don't know how deeply you feel about Brian Aldridge or what your plans are, but I think you ought to know that he took Trina Muir out to dinner last night. Don't let him make a fool of you. And don't let him hurt you. He isn't worth it.
If Aldridge is cheating on you, he needs sorting out.
Tony, love, I don't own him, and he certainly doesn't own me. How can he cheat me?
I thought it would matter to you.
It does.
Well, then.
But it's my affair, not yours nor Jack Woolley's either.
He should never have told you. That was a dirty trick.
On me or Brian?
It's bound to hurt you. And it sounds as though the only reason he's done it is to get at Aldridge through you.
I think Mr. Woolley meant well. He thought I ought to know. Not that I wouldn't have heard sooner or later from somebody in the village. But do stop trying to make a mountain out of a molehill.
Sorry. It's my protective instincts, I suppose. No hard feelings?
Oh, don't be daft. I'm glad you came here first, though, rather than having it out with Brian.
Oh, I wouldn't have done anything drastic.
I don't think you'd have had the chance. He'd wipe the floor with you.
Oh, thanks very much. Now he's being protective.
Sorry I wasn't here when you arrived, Jennifer. I've been shopping for some coffee.
Well, tea would have done just as well. Mabel Larkin could have done the shopping for you.
Oh, that sounds as though I'm being put in my place. Am I?
No, not really. But I was going to invite myself over anyway, and then you phoned.
Two minds with but a single thought.
That depends, doesn't it?
On what?
On what you wanted to talk about. I don't see why you couldn't have told me last night on the phone.
Because I wanted to say my piece face to face.
That sounds rather ominous.
It is, in a way. For me. Or at least it could be if you take things the wrong way.
Wouldn't it be easier if you stopped waffling and said it straight out?
All right. It's no secret, but I want you to hear it from me rather than from village gossip. I took Trina Muir out to dinner on Tuesday. Her car had broken down and I came to the rescue. That's all.
Thank you for telling me. You weren't the first, though. Jack Woolley told me yesterday.
Oh, now I feel a fool.
Why? I wanted you to tell me of your own accord. And you have.
I had to. It suddenly mattered what you might think. Or does that sound crazy?
No. Doesn't sound crazy at all. And it means I can ask question number two instead of number one.
Why miss out the first one?
Because you've answered it. If you hadn't said, I was going to ask what you were doing with Trina Muir on Tuesday. Now it doesn't matter.
What about this second question?
Much more personal.
Now who's waffling? Come on, tell me.
Seeing as I think you're a nice man, and I'm not doing anything on Saturday, how about a game of golf?
Of course I'm not going to a lot of trouble, Tony, but you must admit it is a red letter day.
The whole family together again.
With just one vacant chair. And before you say anything, let me say I know the last thing your dad would want would be any sad thoughts at a party.
Yes, he loved parties, didn't he?
He'd have been as pleased as Punch seeing you and Pat settled at Willow Farm with your first baby due within a month, and Lillian and Ralph looking better than they have for years. And Jennifer?
I wonder what he'd think about Jennifer. He thought a lot of Roger.
Oh, we all did, dear. But people change, you know.
Yeah.
Tony, I know you can't help it, and I do understand how you feel about some things that Jennifer's done. But don't you think it's time...
Only me, Mum.
Oh, Jennifer, come in, dear.
Just popped in to make sure you're all right. Hello, Tony. Saw your van outside.
Oh, glad that didn't stop you coming in.
All right. Of course I'm all right, dear.
Now, what about all that washing up? You promised to leave it.
Yes, I know. But after you and Brian went, I suddenly thought I'd do it. No. Lillian helped.
You stayed on after tea, did you?
Oh, just for an hour. And then we had a quiet meal at Home Farm after the children had gone to bed.
Ralph and Lillian are round at Chris's now, having lunch.
It was all quite proper, Tony. Mabel Larkin was there.
No, it's no concern of mine.
Well, you looked as if you thought it was.
Now, come on, you two. For goodness sake, it's Christmas.
Oh, a bit quieter in here, Tony.
Yeah. I suppose I ought to give a hand with the washing up, really.
Oh, I think we can safely leave that to the others.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I can scarcely move after that tea. Wasn't expecting another spread like yesterday.
Yes, I know.
Sure. Will Lillian and Jennifer and Pat, for that matter, find the energy to play with their children beats me.
It was getting a bit hectic in there, wasn't it?
Sure, I'll say. Well, if it weren't dark, I could do with a brisk walk around the farm. Mum's planning supper as the main event of the day.
Oh, the farm will be there tomorrow. Forget about it for an hour or so.
Well, that doesn't sound like you.
I've changed, that's why. I know there's nothing does a farm so much good as a farmer's boot, but you have to keep things in proportion.
But you're a born farmer. You always agreed that farming's a way of life.
You still do. My mistake was to get more and more involved in huge capital investment. Bigger isn't necessarily better, you know.
Oh, that is a change of tune.
Change of heart in every sense of the word. Tell me, what do you think of this chap, Brian Aldridge?
Oh, he's all right.
As a farmer, I meant. I know you're an odd man out where Jennifer's concerned.
I am? Who says?
Oh, everybody and nobody. There are no secrets in the family, Tony. No one's actually said anything, of course.
Well, it's Jennifer's affair, isn't it?
Exactly. And I wasn't asking about that. What's he like as a farmer?
Well, I must admit he's pretty hard.
Oh, two more retiring herd from the fray.
Oh, yes, let me sit down.
Pat and Jennifer deserve medals. Well,
I hope she isn't overdoing it.
No, she's got James on the sofa and she's reading to him. Though how he can hear a word with all the pandemonium beats me.
Not too much for you, is it, Mum?
Oh, I love it. You've no idea what a wonderful feeling it is having all the family under the same roof. Sort of complete.
What were you threatening to take back to Guernsey, darling?
Oh, pots of Betty Tucker's genuine Ambridge honey.
Oh.
She's had a good season, apparently.
It's delicious.
Hmm. Pity it isn't on my diet.
Oh, of course. Oh, Lillian, would you like one of these?
Oh, no thanks, Mum.
I'm dying to hear about the plans for settling in Guernsey.
Well, there's not much to tell, really.
We like the place and want to stay there.
It's a case of waiting until our friends John and Susan Fielding find us somewhere.
They're on the lookout, are they?
Have been for some time.
Oh, come on, Jennifer. There's a seat here.
Hey, you haven't left Pat in there by herself.
Oh, she's all right. She was sitting reading to James. The next thing I realized was that the rest of the children were paying more attention to her than to me. So I slipped out.
Your best beloved hasn't arrived yet. I want to have a long natter with him.
Now you've made her blush.
Whatever for?
It was good of him to offer to bring Mum.
Brian's become quite one of the family already, hasn't he?
Well, of course he has.
Seems to know his stuff as a farmer, Jennifer. Sounds a man after my own heart.
Yes, I'm sure he is, well.
Seems to have all the right ideas and the drive to make them work.
Yes, I think...
Don't let him get too carried away, though. Hey, Lillian?
I beg your pardon? Oh.
Always a temptation for a really go-ahead chap to expand, more land, get too big.
Oh, that, yes.
Let me be a lesson to you, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Make sure he keeps a sense of proportion, just as I've been telling Tony here. Longing to walk around the farm, aren't you, Tony?
Well, I only said I wanted to work off
some... Excuse me. Mum, is there some orange in the kitchen?
Of course, dear.
I need a cool drink after all that shouting with the children.
It's in the fridge, dear. Oh, perhaps I'd better make sure she finds it.
Well, I'm going to see if Pat's all right.
Oh, stay where you are, Tony, and talk to Ralph. I'm sure you must have lots to say. I'll see that Pat's all right.
Oh, thanks, love.
Here you are, Jennifer. Try that. Not too strong?
No, it's lovely, thanks.
You shouldn't be so sensitive, you know.
I was just thirsty.
The others may have believed that. I didn't.
It was the way they were talking about Brian. As if he and I... As if it were all...
All what?
Well, all fixed. All decided.
And isn't it?
In a way it is. I know it. You know it. We all know it. But it's sort of being taken for granted. Brian hasn't asked me to marry him.
I'm sorry.
It's all right, Tony. I think perhaps we've all been a bit tactless.
And I haven't helped much, have I?
Oh, I...
No, don't answer that. Because it's true. Thoughtlessness, really, I suppose. But as Mum said this morning, it still is the season of goodwill. And I know I've been a bit short on that where you're concerned. Didn't mean to be. Just been too busy enjoying my own good fortune, I suppose. I'm sorry if I've been...
Tony, don't say any more. Please.
Yeah, all right. But you know what I mean, love.
Yes.
They don't seem to like us.
They're holding a parliament. Before the sun goes down, they'll disperse to their own nests.
Oh, really?
Oh, sorry. You must know more about rooks than I do.
Oh, I doubt it. You're very fond of the country, aren't you, Jennifer?
Who isn't?
A lot of people like living in London.
The only good thing about London is the down train from Paddington.
You really think that? I mean, you're about the one person in Ambridge who'd look really at home in a Chelsea boutique.
Right.
It's true. In the way you dress, the way you think.
The way I behave.
Outrageous.
Yes. Is there some purpose behind all this analysis of my character?
Perhaps.
Why don't we talk about how lovely the sunset is?
Well, it's hardly spectacular.
Neither am I.
Would you be depressed if you thought you'd be living in Ambridge indefinitely?
No.
I always think there's nothing worse than someone who's always wishing they were somewhere else. They're the very devil to live with.
I expect they are.
Still, if you're happy here, that's all right. Because it's the only thing that's been bothering me.
Brian, if you...
Jenny, I think we ought to get married. Don't you?
Jennifer was taken by surprise.
You mean when he proposed?
Yes. Came out of the blue.
She must have had some inkling, surely.
Only because you and everyone else kept dropping hints the size of manhole covers.
I said nothing at all to her. I may have had private hopes.
What, of Brian proposing to you?
Oh, no, you silly thing.
He had me worried for a moment.
I had my hopes as well, though I can't say I expected them to be realized.
Why not?
Oh, because of Jennifer's attitude.
But she dotes on Brian. Anyone can see that.
And she's got him eating out of her hand. Well, they're head over heels in love.
We could see that, but could Jennifer?
I get what you mean, Peg.
Well, I'm blowed if I do.
Jennifer was afraid to admit she felt so deeply about Brian. The business with Roger made her think she was... well, rather vulnerable. In a sense, she was holding Brian away at arm's length. Oh, but they're right for each other. No question about that.
He's found a property he thinks might suit us.
And you're going to go all the way to Guernsey on the off chance?
Oh, it doesn't take long by plane, Brian.
Well, I hope it's what you're looking for. Here's your grapefruit juice, Mr. Bellamy.
Ralph, please. You make me feel like your father, not a future co-brother-in-law, if that's the right term.
Well, it'll do.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Jennifer will make you a good wife, I promise you that.
Why else do you think I asked her to marry me?
She could be an asset. She has a farming background.
So does Lillian.
No, that was different. She didn't want to get too involved in my side of things. Besides, she had the horses. Then James.
Look, I'm not marrying Jennifer to get cheap labor.
I wasn't suggesting that. Heaven forbid. I meant, is she going to be a farmer's wife in the practical sense?
Well, I dare say she'll don my socks and watch the farming programmes on the telly with me.
And is that all?
Look, I haven't given it much thought, to be honest. You raise an interesting point, though. How does she see herself, I wonder? As my right-hand woman, or as a sit-at-home wife?
There was no need to give up your lunchtime, Jennifer.
I was glad of the excuse, Phil. Oh, and I did want to thank you both for your card and present. If I'd stayed at Grey Gables, Mr. Woolley would have forced a free meal on me in the restaurant.
You passed that up for a stroll to Brookfield?
Well, it would have been the four-course menu, with a half bottle of plonk thrown in. I'd have snored all afternoon.
Oh, well, that might have looked bad.
Especially when I'm having tomorrow afternoon off.
Oh?
Part of my birthday treat. Brian and Mr. Woolley put their heads together and came up with it.
Oh, with what?
Visit to the Panto in Birmingham.
Ah.
Brian rang up and got four cancellations, so he's taking Debbie, Adam and me.
Real family outing.
Give him a chance to get to know them. I've tried to explain to him about things, but it's difficult. They still think of Roger as Daddy.
Oh. Well, time's the only thing that can help there.
And learning to enjoy themselves with Brian.
Mm.
Stay-at-home farmer's wife.
That's right.
It's funny. Lillian said you'd ask me about that, Brian. She must be psychic.
Or have heard Ralph say something about it. It was he who raised the subject with me.
Oh, this is a super restaurant.
Oh, yes, it is, isn't it? Another brandy.
Oh, no, thank you. I couldn't touch another thing.
Why not? You're entitled to be spoiled on your birthday.
Oh, I've certainly been that.
Good. But you haven't answered my question, have you?
I can't, I'm afraid.
Why not?
Because I don't know. I'd prefer to play it by ear.
You must have some leaning one way or the other.
Well, at the moment, I'm leaning dangerously to the left. Burgundy was very potent.
And I thought you were getting intoxicated by my company.
That too. Oh, I do love you, Brian.
Then put me out of my misery. Come on.
I don't know. I can't say I'm what you call the farming type. But I'd like to think I'm ready for new interests. I might be a sitter at home, I might be a worker on the farm. Which would you prefer me to be?
A bit of both, actually.
A master of compromise?
Why not?
I want to take it slowly, you see.
Slowly?
The getting to know each other, the finding out. I'd hate to... Well, if this doesn't sound rather feeble, I'd hate to overcommit myself too soon.
To me, you mean?
No.
to a particular lifestyle with you. It's difficult to explain, but I...
Go on. I don't mind you mentioning Roger.
Well, I got very involved in the bookshop. Couldn't help it, living over the place. But emotionally, I was completely committed.
Naturally, you love books.
I sometimes think books were all Roger and I had in common.
But how does this affect me?
I want to marry you, not 1,500 acres.
Ah, some people might say the two went together.
Not in my book. Put it another way, did you propose to me because of my farming know-how?
What farming know-how?
Well, that's the point. We've been brought together by, well, the things that ought to bring people together. Not by an affection for combine harvesters or seed drills.
Point taken.
Let's take it as it comes. Not draw up partnership agreements.
Of course. Subject closed.
Lillian was saying how impressed Ralph was with the farm.
Yeah, I thought we were keeping off agriculture.
Oh, sorry.
There is something more important to discuss.
A novel Mr. Woolley gave me.
Mm-mm. Dates for the wedding.
Won't one date do? I'll settle for one.
Ah, but where? In a church, a cathedral, a registry office? And when?
Let's dodge that one until I'm technically free.
Sorry, I was forgetting.
So was I. It's one of the nice things about knowing you. You've made me forget about Roger and the divorce and all that. Just the same, it's got to be faced.
Well, I'll wait. Meanwhile, there's the pantomime to be faced tomorrow.
The children are thrilled about that.
I didn't only buy the tickets for their benefit.
Didn't you?
Nope. I'm a secret panto fiend. For ages I've been looking for an excuse to go.
Aye. I thought we were getting away with it too easily.
That's the first peep out of him all evening.
He's making up for it now. What a pair of lungs. You'll be able to call the cattle home with those.
He'll be quiet as soon as Pat gets there. There you are. What did I tell you? You can set your clock by him.
Talking of clocks, have you seen the time, love?
Oh, it can't be that late already, Brian.
Oh, yes, it can.
Well, that's the nicest compliment anyone can pay, I always think. Glad you enjoyed it.
Would you believe me if I said I was dreading it before I got here?
Dreading it? Well, that's hard to believe.
Well, you see, it's happened. Came this morning.
Hmm? Oh, I see. The divorce. Well, I'm sorry, love. I just don't know what to say.
Best leave it like that. You and Pat being so happy and natural this evening have given me just the feeling I needed, you know. How life goes on and what things really matter.
Yes, I'm grateful too, Tony.
Oh, gosh.
Now what?
Oh, Pat rushed up to feed John in such a hurry. She forgot the nappies. Oh. Excuse me, well, you won't take a minute.
Being a father's certainly changed him, hasn't it?
It does, I'm told.
Brian.
Yes, love?
Thank you.
What for?
For being so understanding. I can't have been very good company today. Well, not for weeks.
It's not difficult to see why.
But that's all behind us now.
And anyway, you have been good company. I haven't wanted anyone else.
That's what's been so good about it.
I know how strong your feelings were for Roger. I know you didn't want all this.
No. But when I saw how determined he was, how little I meant it. But as I say, that's all behind this. I'm free now, Brian.
Darling, I hope so.
There's no doubt, is there?
Not if you say so.
But I do.
You must have memories and regrets.
Memories, yes. Regrets, no. The past is over. Things haven't gone the way I'd hoped, but, well, let's be clear about one thing. I only agreed to go through with a divorce for one reason.
And that was?
Because I'd found someone who really did love me, and someone who needed my love.
Brian, it's me!
Oh, thank goodness you're here. Do you know, my cream shirt's disappeared. The one with the brown stripes. Oh, hello, Tony.
Hello, Brian.
My car got a puncture. Oh. Right outside the garage, thank goodness. I left it there.
You should have phoned me.
Well, Tony was passing. But have you looked in your wardrobe or the airing cupboard?
What?
Your shirt. Cream with brown stripes.
Well, wardrobe, of course. There's a sort of compartment thing with shirts written on it.
Which Mabel has been ignoring ever since she came here. I'll go and find it for you.
Thanks.
Oh, I'll be off anyway.
Oh, don't, please. You haven't seen my sheep.
Oh, hadn't I?
I know how you feel. You don't want to buy half a dozen Jacob sheep by any chance, do you?
What, Jennifer's? You've only just got them for her.
I didn't realise it was going to make me famous.
or infamous for miles around. I've got more than 500 ewes coming into lamb, but those six Jayfords are ruining my reputation as a farmer.
Yeah, I must say I was a bit surprised when I heard about them.
Now, don't you start. It was a whim, a pre-wedding present for Jenny.
Bridegroom's gift to bride, six fat lambs.
Yes. Makes me sound a bit like a Bedouin tribesman put like that.
Well, I suppose a really rich oil sheik would have given her a couple of pounds of seed potatoes.
Right. Have a drink. Scotch?
Yeah, thanks. You haven't started lambing yet.
No, but the next 2 weeks are going to be the hectic time.
Well, Grandad's just about finished, Phil was saying.
Oh, I wish we were.
Here. Oh, thanks.
Actually, I'm a bit worried. Running a flock my size with one shepherd is sound economics, but this time of year it could be a bit hair-raising.
Well, you've had experience, though.
Well, not on this scale. I know it's not a big flock by some standards.
Oh, it is by mine.
I was lucky to inherit land, though it didn't seem much like luck at the time.
No, of course not.
You see, Tony, I was just ready for an Easter skiing holiday with some friends I had made in Paris during a wild and well-spent youth, when suddenly, there I was, 28 years old, and both my parents dead in a car crash, and responsible for a 900-acre farm with livestock, a workforce, and drilling spring barley hardly started.
Oh, I didn't realize. I mean, I knew about your parents.
It was 5 years ago. Another drink.
Oh, no thanks. I really must be going.
Here you are. It was in the airing cupboard, as I expected.
Good Lord.
What's the matter?
Oh, well, nothing.
Yes, there is. You're looking at me in a very strange way.
No, honestly.
Is it my skirt? Don't you like it?
Well, yes, of course. It's just that, well, it's not the skirt you came in wearing. Took me by surprise, that's all.
She changes very quickly. Clothes, temper. But then you'll know all about that, being her brother.
Yes.
I keep a spare outfit here so I can change without going back to Winford's. It's very convenient.
Oh, I see.
Look, Tony, we're going out to dinner in Borchester. Why don't you and Pat come with us?
Yes, why don't you?
Oh, sorry. We're going round to Mum's for the evening, baby and all. Some other time.
Okay. Next Saturday, the four of us.
Oh, fine.
Two sirloin steaks, please. Both medium rare. Yeah. With a mixed salad.
Don't you like potatoes?
No, not for me, thanks. Chips, Jenny?
Oh, yes, please.
One lot of chips. And a carafe of red wine.
Thank you.
Not
being very adventurous, are we? There's that new Greek restaurant near the cattle market.
I quite fancy Greek food, come to think of it.
Well, it's too late now. You can eat your steak and your apple pie and like it.
I know. We can try the Greek place next week with Tony and Pat.
All right. Oh, poor Tony.
He's a good chap. I like him.
He's ever so, well, proper.
And so am I.
You'd better marry me then, and quickly.
What?
Tony didn't know which way to look when I appeared in my other skirt.
Is that all?
But in Ambridge, it's enough. When we're proper, we're very proper, with no messing about.
Ah. Well, as I've been hopelessly compromised, I suppose we'd better fix the date. Let me see now.
Put your diary away. We already have fixed the date, I hope.
Ah, but that's a secret. Nobody knows about it.
May the 29th at Borchester Registry Office.
Now you're for it. You've gone and told the waitress before your mother.
I hope you both understand.
Of course we understand, Jennifer.
I love, if that's what you want, then that's how it should be.
Oh, thank you, Grandad.
And of course we'll be delighted to look after the children.
It'll only be for about 5 minutes. These register office ceremonies are over before you say I do.
Well, I hope I managed to get that bit out, at least.
We went to a wedding at the Borchester Register Office a few years ago. It was very nice and not at all rushed.
And it was a fair bit warmer than our church.
Dan.
Oh, central heating has a great bearing on a marriage, Doris.
At the end of May?
Oh, we're more concerned with size than warmth, Grandad. We want to limit the numbers there.
You've certainly done that. With only Pat and Tony, Chris and Paul and your mother going.
Can't you find room for Brian?
Only just.
Oh, there is one thing.
Yes, Gran?
Your wedding present.
Now, I told you, we don't want
you to... Oh, yes, you do, and it's something you'll find very useful in your kitchen at Home Farm. The question is, when shall we give it to you?
It's very naughty of you.
I'm not the only one. Whatever you say about a quiet wedding, people will shower you with gifts.
Well, actually, they'll all be gratefully accepted. Brian and I will call round on Friday, if that's all right.
Good. Is he going to have any celebrations beforehand?
Stag party, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, of a sort. Phil and Tony, one or two others, are taking him out on Wednesday night.
As long as they bring him back in one piece.
Oh, he's old enough to look after himself.
In you go.
I can walk perfectly well on my own.
Where's the light switch? Oh, that's it. Now, you sit down.
I'm fine, I tell you.
What's wrong?
Jack Woolley's had this bar redecorated. Ooh, I don't care for his taste, do you?
Brian, we left Grey Gables ages ago.
Oh, which bar are we in now, then?
The kitchen at Home Farm.
Oh. But that's where I live. What are you doing?
Making a coffee. Mm. We can both do with one.
It's my round, isn't it?
No, you stay right there. You're in no condition to go wandering around.
Oh, I feel marvellous. It's been a wonderful evening.
Yeah? You said goodbye to your bachelor days in great style.
I did, didn't I? Bye-bye, bachelor days.
In a few days, you'll leave all your cares behind you as you go off on your honeymoon.
But I can't leave Ambridge. I mean, this is the farm.
Steve Manson is going to handle that.
It's what you pay him for.
Steve Manson? Your foreman.
Sure.
You really do need that coffee.
I know who Steve is.
The salt of the earth.
He's a good man. But I'm glad it's her.
Who?
I'm glad it's Jennifer I'm marrying. Oh, you're a lovely girl.
Yeah, she'll make you a fine wife.
Oh, you know her, do you?
I ought to. She's my sister. Now, come on, pull yourself together, Brian.
I've been trying to place who you were. Yes. I'm sorry. It's all coming back now. It's all coming back.
Oh, the water's ready. I'll make the coffee.
Jenny.
Didn't Pat look smart for the wedding?
Oh, do you think so?
Oh, I do.
Well, she'll be pleased when I tell her that.
Your mother was full of it.
Went off nice and quiet, did it, lad?
Yes. It was funny, though, you know. It may have been a civil ceremony and plain, but it had a lot of feeling.
Simple and dignified. That's always nice.
I thought women always preferred being married in church.
Oh, but when you think about it, the pledge is the same, isn't it?
Yep. Church or register office. It's how the people involved tackle it that's important.
Chris was saying how happy they both looked.
Jennifer deserves to be happy. Now she can make a new life for herself and the kiddies.
Oh, it's going to be a lot different being Brian's missus at Home Farm rather than Woolley's secretary.
Oh, she'll enjoy it. And make a good job of it, you'll see. Real homemaker Jennifer is given half a chance.
Sure, she'll have more than half a chance there.
Give the girl time. She's not even back from her honeymoon yet.
How long are they away for, do you know?
A week, so Peggy Archer said.
If it had been left to Brian, they'd be back by tomorrow morning. But Jennifer persuaded him otherwise.
Good for her. It's not as though he can't afford it.
Sparing the time from his farm's a thing, isn't it, Tony?
That's his story. Though May isn't all that bad on his farm. And he's got good help.
Oh, his foreman, you mean? Oh, he'll take care of things. There's no fear of that.
And it's only 7 days, heaven help us.
Yeah, mind you, Jennifer had to compromise to get the week away.
Oh, well, how do you mean?
Oh, they've gone to near Cambridge. Hardly any distance from his old stamping ground. What's the odds she'll find herself walking a few farms before the week's out?
Oh, no.
By golly, hope she took her gumboot. It's as though she's going to need it.
Thank you.